All right, I've got about 30 minutes to rightly divide the word of truth today. Wasn't that better? We actually prayed for people. Hello? Wasn't that better? I can't believe Brother Cal dispensed with all the prayer request time. We'll hear that out on the parking lot, I know. It's Rock Collins up in here mentioned that. Tuesday night, you know. We spend all this time. Anyways, it's one of my soapboxes, so forgive me. We started in Colossians. I didn't want to dive into Isaiah because Billy's put in a lot of time studying about Isaiah already, and I don't want to steal any of his thunder, so whenever he gets back, he'll dive into Isaiah. And we started in Colossians and in verses 1 through 5, and so I think we'll finish up 5 through 8 today. And this is to be an interactive time. Y'all did great last week in interaction, and that's how you learn, really. And one of my young soldiers, Joseph, and I was having coffee yesterday, and he said, "You know, you're right, Cal." He said, "I need to come to Bible study in Sunday school." I said, "Yeah, you do." I said, what got you thinking about that? And he said, "Well, you said in worship you can't throw your hand up. What do you mean by that? But you can in Bible study." And so anyways, that's what this time's all about. Let me just read these verses of Scripture that we'll do our best to cover today. We're in Colossians chapter 1. Let me start at verse 5 because I think we finished halfway through the verse. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you," where? "In heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Is there anybody that can say amen to that? "As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." And Father, I'd ask now that you'd bless the reading and the teaching and the speaking and the interaction of your word today. Here's the deal with this section of Colossians. Last week, you know, we looked at grace and peace, the characteristics of the Christian life, and then we looked at those the tremendous issues of faith, hope, and love, which make up the Christian life. And really, the discussion here is a continuation of what's life all about. And, you know, many people live their lives, their whole life, and don't really know what they're living for. Isn't that shame? They don't know why they're here, where they come from, where they're going. And I want to tell you, there's more to life than just eating and drinking and sleeping and playing ball and doing this and doing that. There's a lot more to life than those things. Amen? And there's an abundant life that Jesus wants us to have, a overflowing, supernatural life. And you find that life in the characteristics of grace and peace. How many of you have received the grace of God? Well, guess what? You're sitting in the grace of God right now. God just extends grace and peace. And then we looked at the basics of the Christian life with their faith, which are faith, hope, and love last week. And so, how does the Christian life come about? And that's what he's talking about here in these verses. Where does it come from? And how do you get it? And these are all great questions, okay? And so, really there in verses, the latter part of verse 5b, he says, "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." And so, Paul's reminding the church at Colossae, you have heard the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? What is the good news? Jesus, yeah. Thank you. He did what? Why did he die? For our sins. Why was he buried? Because he died. And because he was buried, our sins can be buried and put away. And then what's the last part? He was raised on the third day. Does a dead Savior save anybody? He had to get up from the grave. And bless God, he did. And because he did get up, you can get up and have life too. And so Paul is telling us that exact truth in these verses about the good news of the gospel. That's what people need to hear. Now, we have what I call an old gospel. How old is our gospel? Yeah, thank you. That wasn't a hard question, y'all. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the good news about Christ, and what he is about 2,000 years old. But we have an old gospel, and yet in Paul's day, there were people coming to the church in Colossae that was introducing a new gospel, okay? And they were teaching what is called, and there's a form of this still today, called Gnosticism. Gnosticism. Which said that everybody needs spiritual perfection. Everybody needs spiritual perfection. And in order to have this spiritual perfection and really a close union with God, you got to enter into following the teachings and ceremonies prescribed by the Gnostics who were teaching Gnosticism. In other words, they're saying that you need Jesus plus something else. Oh, it's great. You got to have Jesus. But you know what? You need Jesus and, yeah. You need Jesus and this. You need Jesus and that. You need Jesus and this and this and this. And folks, anytime you add something to the gospel, you're taking away from the person and work of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:8 says, if anyone preaches any other gospel, let them be accursed. And do you know what that means? Paul's saying, if anybody else preaches any other gospel, they can just go to hell. That's what that word means. How strong that is. Amen? And so there's the old gospel that we need to stay with. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of groups still doing that today. Talk to me. Gnosticism's still alive and well. This young soldier, do y'all know Joseph Teague? He sits right over here, young, good-looking, blonde-haired soldier. I had coffee with him yesterday, and he said, I just want you to know I love Second Mile Church. He said, y'all still preach the gospel here. And I said, we're going to preach the gospel and teach the gospel here as long as I'm here. And hopefully long after I'm gone, we'll continue to do that. And so, yeah. But that's why he visited many other churches. And that's, I'm not putting down other churches. I'm just telling you, your church membership or wherever you go to church is so important. It's huge. And there's a lot of good churches in Clarksville, by the way. We're not the only one. And by the way, the only thing good about us is Jesus. All right? We're not anything special. He's the one that's special. And so we need to stick with the old gospel. It's sufficient for salvation. I don't ever get tired of hearing the old gospel. How many of you all, maybe this week, maybe last week, maybe last month, had somebody walk up to you or you were sitting with or started sharing the good news of Jesus with you?
Well, kind of opposite, you know, I'm in Best American Ministry. Last week I was able to pray with three people and just share them that we're there to share the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And to have them testimony back to me, just be able to share and invite them to come to our church or to attend First Baptist. So that's just really very special gift they got to know.
I'm blown away whenever I hear somebody share about Jesus with me. It happens very rarely. How many times have folks she shared with some people that came to her to the Good Sam this week? How many of y'all heard somebody sharing the God? Yes.
I had a friend who has a lot going on in her life, and she said she doesn't go to church, but she's a believer. But she said, "I prayed to God this morning on my way to work for just a few minutes. I had in the car that He would, do something in my life to show me what He wants me to do." And I said, "He is. He already is. That there's a change coming for her." And I said, "If you can just see that, it's already happening. Because I've been praying."
Amen.
And so,
well, as your pastor, it blesses me to hear that y'all are sharing. Because it's so few times somebody's walked up to me and said, "Hey."
Well, I led up to witnessing through all the strokes, all the operations, everything I got. It's been so good to me at St. Thomas Hospital. Not talking to you real far out and everything. And another person over at Rural King is already a Christian.
Now, doesn't that bless you? You get to talking to somebody, "Oh, yeah, I'm a believer." You know, that's a real blessing. Somebody, Dick, was that you?
I had somebody come up to me on a boat ramp.
Out fishing.
Ooh. I had on one of the FCA shirts or something, got the cross, whatever, on it. And this fellow was evidently a believer. He came up and said, "Well, I appreciate what you're saying." And then we talked just a little bit.
Woo, glory. Yeah. Laura. Laura.
There's a guy, he's a friend of mine and Nancy's and some other people, and sometimes they'll go up to the line and work out and they'll go sit down and talk a while, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, so after I worked out I went over and said hi to him, and he said, "I'm going to have some surgery, I've got to have something done with his pacemaker or something," and it was the next day. And a friend came by and said, "Well, I'll pray for you, John." And then they left, and I said, "Well, I'm going to pray right now with you." And so I sat down next to him and prayed with him. And I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but that's the way I feel.
Keep sharing the gospel. Keep sharing the gospel. We need to move on from this point, but go ahead, Nancy.
She prayed for called me and told me.
Amen. Why does God leave us here when we get saved? Yeah. Can you believe He's entrusted us with getting the gospel out to the whole world? But that's exactly what He's done. Yes, Debbie.
I just feel so blessed that
Amen. Man, the Good News Club out at Kenwood's special. It's all of us can be involved some kind of way with something like that. And so we've got an old gospel to share, and we've got one guy. By the way, how many of you love the old song? "I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory." Woo, that's good. That is good, y'all. So thank God for the old gospel and thank God for the one gospel. There's only one true gospel. I mean, the gospel, what does He say here in verse 5? It is the truth of the gospel. Who is the truth? John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. There's just one gospel. There's only one way. John 17, 17 says, Thy word is truth. When you hear the gospel, when you hear the Bible, you have heard the truth. Hallelujah, I'm getting to preaching again. This is supposed to be interactive. The one true gospel is what people need to hear. Now, I still love to listen to Billy Graham. He's on one of those old TBN channels or something, and you can log on and hear him preaching. Man, when he was in his prime 50, 60 years ago, that brother can preach. But did y'all know early on in Billy Graham's ministry, he was being told that he had to conform his preaching and his teaching to modern thinking. Do you know what that is? That's Gnosticism. That's Jesus plus this, this, and this. And that he would have to agree that the Bible had mistakes and errors in it. Well, early on, Dr. Billy Graham had an issue. I mean, if he was going to preach the truth, if the Bible wasn't completely true, how could he do that? You understand where the dilemma that he's in? And so in his book, one of his books, I think it was in Going Home, he tells the story about being early on when he was young, being out in the woods, pouring his heart out to the Lord concerning this matter, and God confirmed it in Billy's heart that the Bible was and is the Word of God. And every time you hear Billy Graham preaching, you hear him say, what? The Bible says. For the Bible says. For the Bible says. The Bible says. For the Bible says. The Bible is the Word of God. And thank God for the truth of the gospel. Mm. So we've got a truthful message. We've got a universal message. Look at verse 6a. Oh, let's see here. We'll get done in a little while. Amen. Now watch this. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. As it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ met the needs of folks way back in the first century, the second century, the third century, the 10th century, the 16th century, the 20th, and it's still meeting people's needs today. You know, y'all have heard it many times here since Easter. We've got these issues. I talked about it up at the downtown commons for about 10 or 15 minutes the other night. What are you going to do about your sin? In light of the fact that a holy God created you, and He can't have anything to do with sin except judge sin. What are you going to do about your sin? And then sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death, right? And so the good news is that Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried so that our sins could be put away, and that He rose from the dead so that you could have eternal life. And thank you, Dick. And here's the deal, y'all. When you got saved, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when you got born again, when you became a Christian, a follower of Christ, you didn't just turn over a new leaf. You didn't have just a fresh start or a new beginning. You got a brand new life. Brand new life. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sin. Y'all with me? What do dead folks need? Dead folks need life. Hello? Dead folks need life. And that's why Jesus came, to give us what we needed more than anything else. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, deals with both of those issues. And then he talks here about a faithful messenger Who is, y'all know who Epaphras is or was? I'm sorry. Who was Epaphras? Anybody know? I mean, that name sounds like some kind of tea or something, doesn't it? Who is Epaphras? Yeah, he was a preacher. And evidently, this fellow was from Colossae and had probably heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul when Paul was in Ephesus. And he may have even been the pastor of the church in Colossae. That's kind of the way it talks there. He says, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So this was a faithful messenger. This was a faithful pastor. And so the folks in Colossae needed to hear the message. And God uses messengers to get His word out. And by the way, you don't have to be an ordained pastor to get the Word of God to somebody. All of us are responsible to do that. Every one of us. And somebody quickly look up Romans 10, 13 through 15.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they
Woo! That's the word preach or preacher is the word kerux. And it literally means a herald, a proclaimer. And so God uses proclaimers to get His message out. And what is, how beautiful are the feet of them that carry the God? Is that what it says, Mike? I've got the ugliest looking feet in the world. But when Jesus looks at them, He likes them. Because every time I tell somebody about Him, my feet start shining. And I would rather my feet to shine for God's glory than to have neuropathy in them. Amen? Spiritual neuropathy. You understand what I'm saying? Epaphras was that kind of messenger. And God uses people to get the gospel out. We've got over 200 plus preachers in here, proclaimers, heralds, in here every single Sunday. What would happen if all of us left here and went out and proclaimed the faithful message of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Y'all keep sharing. Keep sharing. God's going to put them in your path. Keep talking to them. Keep sharing with them. Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about tattoos, but Tammy and I got matching tattoos a few years ago. And mine is Bible verse, 1 John 3:19. And I get more comments when you work in the public. So I get to share, you know, the good news that way. Because if they ask me, I'm not, I can talk about it. Now I can't just, of course, being in the public and in a government.
Right.
But if they ask me, I can sure tell them. So that's I feel like that's a good way to deal with it.
We've got all kinds of stuff. We got programs. We've got tracks. We've got all kinds of stuff to share the gospel, the good news with. But the kicker is, are we going to share? You know, just get in gospel conversations with people. You know, you don't have to hit somebody over the head with a Bible. Just give them the love of Jesus. And Rock Collins had it right Tuesday night. You've got a story to share. Nobody can argue with what God's done for you. Nobody. And so share it. Especially at work. And by the way, don't you assume everybody's saved. Don't you dare say. While we were up here at the downtown Commons, we had two older men pray to receive Christ. Wasn't that great? And bless God, in my ministry. Down in Waynesboro, I had a minister of music who'd been serving in that capacity for years, and he wound up getting saved one morning. I was in the prayer room at church early that morning, and I heard somebody coming in the back door, and he was shouting. And it was Larry Littlefield, our minister of music. He had just gotten born again. Our chairman of deacons, Greg, wound up praying to receive. You don't assume everybody's saved. My senior adult pastor, who ministered to the senior adults, had been in the ministry for 40 years. And he, along about the 20th year in the ministry, he realized he was lost. And he got born again. It's easy to happen, y'all, when you're affiliated with the church and grow up in the church. But I want to tell you, don't assume everybody's saved. Amen? And so I wanted to share one other thing with you before we finish up. Look at the latter part of verse 6 again. Since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. You know, when somebody gets saved, it's a miracle. It's a miraculous thing. And the people of God in Colossae had received and experienced this miracle of the grace of God. What a wonderful day it is and it was when God's grace came into your life. You have had that day, hadn't you? Don't ever... There's lost people in this church house every Sunday. Every Sunday. Don't ever assume. The grace of Almighty God is available for everybody. I don't believe that Jesus just died for the elect. I believe He died for everybody. I believe Jesus paid the price so everybody could be saved. And so when God begins to work in you, you eventually bear fruit. That's what He's talking about here. Take the seed of the gospel and share it, spread it, plant it, water it, develop it, and eventually you'll see somebody get saved. And so when a person, let me just share this. I'm out of time. We've got a deacon's meeting here in just a few minutes, but Wednesday night, there was an older fella out at Kenwood. His name's Ricky Stewart. And he prayed to receive Christ. And for years, he said, I don't have the power of God. My life's not a bit different than it was 40 years ago when I supposedly got saved and baptized. But he said, I prayed to receive Christ here tonight. And I said, are you saved now, Ricky? Are you absolutely sure? And he said, yes, I'm born again. And then we had another gentleman in our church, and I baptized him. Listen, folks, the only people who know that you're saved is you and God. That's it. And so when somebody tells me I'm lost, man, I need to be saved, I don't care if you're, you know, if you've been baptized so many times in the pond that the frogs know you by your first name. Go ahead and pray and get it right with God. Because let me tell you, if your life hadn't changed in some way, some shape, some form, some fashion, you have not met Jesus. Because He changes life. That's what He does. Changed. Yeah. Certainly will.
Born again, that's what my scripture said. We was in church, the Bible was saved. Born again, you're not born again. Over and over. You know how we ignore that. I'm okay.
Well, Ricky had had some pastor tell him he was okay. No. So while we were up at the Commons, we'd been sharing with these two fellas, and this young mama came up with a stroller with a little baby girl in the stroller and then a young boy. And she said, would y'all pray for my children? And I said, I'd be glad to pray for your children. She told me what their names were, and I couldn't pronounce their names, but we prayed over those kids. And then after I finished praying, she said, you can pray for me too. And I said, well, I'll be glad to pray for you. I said, do you know the Lord? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? She said, yeah, I became a follower of Jesus about 2 weeks ago. Remember, that's what she told us. And I said, really, what happened 2 weeks ago? And she said, well, my husband committed suicide. And so we got to share and pray over her. And then there was a homeless man up there after it was all over, and he came up to me with tears streaming down his eyes and down his face, and he gave me this little letter that he'd written in red ink with a red, it looked like maybe a dry eraser or something, but he gave it to me, and I read it, and it had his name on there, and I said, so you're homeless? He said, yes. He said, I'm from Arkansas, and I'm homeless, and he didn't get into details, but I said, can we give you some food? Because Terry Perry had some sandwiches and some chips and stuff, but he wouldn't take any food. And I said, well, what can we do to help you? He said, y'all have already helped me. I got what I needed tonight. He said, I want to thank you for sharing the gospel, and I want to thank your musicians for singing and encouraging us tonight. And he had tears streaming down his face. And so I put my arm around this homeless guy, and we started praying. And I want to tell you what, I felt like I was praying with gold. God has his people everywhere. But you make sure you share the good news with folks. And so that's what Colossians chapter 1 is all about. That's what life is all about. All this stuff that we accumulate, all these things we do, the biggest thing we do has eternal value and eternal treasures, and that's what we need to stay focused on. Amen? All right, we need to close in prayer. My deacons from Kenwood are here. They're looking forward for our deacons meeting, and Greg is here. And I thank God for our deacons and their wives. They're doing a great work here in our churches, and the better deacons you have, the closer together your church is, the more unified your church is. And you can tell that by what we've got here at Second Mile Church. So I don't take that for granted. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. And Father, I thank you for the way everybody works together here. We don't have anybody here with any particular agenda of Gnosticism. We don't have anybody here, God, that's trying to preach a new gospel. We're still trying to get the old story out to folks. And I just pray, God, that you would help us to remember always, every morning when we get out of bed, that we're here as your good news sign. Help us to shine for Jesus. Whoo, in his name we pray. Amen.